Joe Corey, it's good to have you back on the show here on Dukes and Bell. Mike and I were just talking about, you know, some of the teams around the league that are going to have issues moving forward. And I think the one that jumps out to us is the Cowboys, right? You paid Dak all this money. He's hurt now. You paid CeeDee Lamb. And now here's Micah Parsons that you're probably going to take care of. I don't know if that's a winning formula with three guys basically jamming up your cap. But what is the situation, and can Jerry somehow maneuver this thing to create some room so that they might be able to do something? That's not a good football team, Joel.
Yeah, well, Jerry's someone who hasn't been a major player in free agency in about a decade. So he's hit on draft picks fairly well. So don't have Parsons. The thing is that when you do these contracts, it's the later years which kill you, not the earlier years. Dallas is going to kick the can down the road, is which what they did with Dak Prescott's contract consistently, and restructure it. They're going to have about $20 million of cap space to carry over to next year. They're just going to build one within and hope they're going to draft picks and try to hope that the offensive combination of Dak and CeeDee Lamb will bear more fruit than it was this year. It might help if they go out and do something about the running game, because this year they had a big miss in not signing someone who wanted to stay in Dallas, who lives in Dallas in the offseason, Derrick Henry.
I understand they got a lot of guys on those one-year deals, so some, they got a little bit of cap relief. One team that we talk about, and similar but different, is Miami, putting so much money into Waddle and Tariq Hill, and then Tua, and of course, obviously being a one hit away from losing their quarterback. The way, again, I know it's difficult when you look at SpoTrack and some of the websites, Joel, but it seems like Miami has got some big cap issues coming down the pike.
Yeah, they made decisions last year to accommodate Tua. They decided they were going to let Christian Wilkins leave a free agency as opposed to sticking a franchise tag on him. They let Robert Hunt go in free agency to accommodate Tua. Doing the Tyreek Hill deal, I don't know if I would have done that, although the way he played his first 2 years in Miami, it was justified on production, but receivers start getting 30, 31, 32. You start seeing some diminishing returns. That's the one outside of Tua because of the concussion issue, which could be problematic for them.
Kind of going around.
You typically don't have two high-priced wide receivers.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. Right. Joel Corey joining us, CBS NFL capologist, contract expert, as we talk about some of the things going on around the league. A lot of Falcon fans, Joel, were saying, why didn't we do something at the trade deadline outside of the interest? Because we talked to Raheem Morris, and, you know, we think the front office was making some calls as everybody was talking about potential moves. But was this cap-related with, hey, they really didn't have the means to do this. Obviously, we didn't give Judon a new deal when he got here. And, you know, you signed Justin Simmons, I think, for basically a little of nothing to bring him in for one season. Well, what's the situation here with Atlanta?
Yeah, you have, like, the fifth most cap commitments for next year. Thank God you're not the Saints. The Saints have close to $330 million in cap commitments, but that's nothing new for them.
Right.
You have about $7 million to carry over. You only have 35 players under contract for next year, so something has to give. It's not a great cap shape, but I understand why you didn't make another move. You don't have a ton of draft picks.
Right.
You gave up your third for Judon, who hasn't really panned out because your team has nine sacks. He was supposed to help short the pass rush. You're not in a position where you should be going all in on this year, because I don't think anyone's going to confuse the Falcons for Super Bowl contender. You should win the NFC South. Actually, have a three-game lead, as far as I'm concerned, because you swept the Buccaneers, so they actually have to end up a game clear of you guys to win the division. But staying put made a lot of sense. You could have absorbed another one of these lower-priced pass rushers like a Josh Uche, but do you really want two Patriots ex-Patriots pass rushers on your team? Preston Smith, another older pass rusher, you have one of those. The guy that wasn't dealt, Azeez Ojulari, would have been the guy.
Right.
Because he's been productive, but the Giants weren't willing to give up on him, and you probably would have needed to give up a fifth for him.
It's Joel Corey, guys, Capologist. And one thing, bringing it back to the Falcons, you know, we do have a first, second. We traded a third for Judon. We have a fourth. Don't have a fifth. We lost that for tampering. And we traded the sixth away for the Van Jefferson pickup from the Rams. So do you think that's ultimately it, just to go into that draft? Or they just didn't feel like L'Jarius Sneed or Ojulari would have been worth that? Because we'd have probably had to go with at least one pick this year and maybe another pick from next year.
Yeah, well, I'm not seeing L'Jarius Sneed getting traded this year because he just got signed. You typically don't give up on a high-priced signing halfway during his first season with a new team. That was a non-starter for me.
Different apostrophe. L'Jarius Sneed, who went to the Lions. L'Jarius is the corner. L'Jarius is the edge. Sorry about that.
L'Jarius Smith.
Yep.
Yeah.
I called him a Sneed, and I screwed up his apostrophe. Sorry about that.
Yeah, L'Jarius Smith, yeah, you probably weren't going to didn't have the draft capital for him, although he would have been affordable given the way his contract was structured, that he basically had to just take care of his minimum base salary for the remainder of the year. I don't think if push came to shove, the Lions are going to outbid you for him, even if you were interested, because they have a glaring need at pass rusher of Aiden Hutchinson going down. I'm not believing he could be back for the Super Bowl, but that's a team that should be all in. They're the best team in the NFC, so it made sense for him to go there. You guys aren't getting compensatory picks either, so
right.
I wouldn't have mortgaged any more draft picks to get another pass rusher this year. Because if you guys were 8-2, or you looked like you were going to be a team which could win a Super Bowl, granted, if you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. But I don't have any problems with them not making a move.
What are the Giants going to do with Daniel Jones? Just move on? Eat the money?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's played his last game for the Giants. You've got a $23 million injury guarantee that you don't want him to have some sort of injury where that comes into play. He's got like a $41 million cap hit next year, and you pick up about $19 million of cap room with a conventional release next March before $12 million becomes fully guaranteed for his 2025 salary. Outside of 2022, when he played fairly well, every other year he's been a disappointment, including this year. If you look at him statistically over the past 2 years, he looks like Desmond Ridder.
Mm. Joel, here's what's interesting, what you just said about that injury payout. Joe Shane, the general manager, just recently, I think it was today maybe or yesterday, came out and said, moving forward, whatever decision we'll make, it will be a football decision. Mike, that's what Joel's talking about.
Right.
That they may bench him just because they don't want to pay out this if he ends up getting hurt. Joel, that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, we've seen it happen before. It happened last year with Russell Wilson, last two games of the regular season. He was put on ice. Derek Carr, the year before, was put on ice for the last 2 weeks when they decided they were going to move on, although Derek Carr started like 90-some-odd games in a row. So when you get to that point where you're done, he's probably going to be inactive as the third quarterback. Mm. I remember RG3, his last year with the Commanders, back then the fifth-year option was guaranteed for injury at signing, then became fully guaranteed first day of the following league year. He was in street clothes for all but one game. So if Cousins had gotten hurt, they were not putting him on the field. They were going with somebody else just because they were making sure that the $16 million that he was supposed to make on a fifth-year option wasn't going to come into play. Mm. Now getting back to Daniel Jones, his left tackle is gone for the year. You've got a guy who ended up on IR for two out of the five complete seasons he's been in the NFL in year six. He's got durability concerns. He's not playing well. You're not going anywhere. I'm not taking a chance. Although Brian Daboll and Joe Shane may still feel he's the best option to win, and they could all get blown out of there if things can continue going south, notwithstanding the vote of confidence from ownership.
Hey, Joel, before we cut you loose, Matthew Stafford, saw him last night, only 15 points for the Rams. He's got one more year left on that deal. What do the Rams do with him?
They don't make the playoffs. They may look to deal him because this is a team which is willing to change course whenever they feel necessary. A couple of years ago, he was on the trading block, although they denied it. So they might be willing to decide to go another direction if they can't turn it around.
Joe Corey, always a pleasure, man. Appreciate you stopping by. Follow him, guys. Check him out. Joe Corey, CBS NFL capologist and contract expert. Thanks again, Joe.